just walking by your room, and you know, I was thinking, boy, it's been a long time since we've had a little father-son chat.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I bought some magazines. Do you want to just flip to the center section? Well, this is the female form.
Andy Dirt Johnson.
This is Hustler. And this is a much more exotic magazine. Look at the expression on her face. You see that? See what she's doing? She's kind of looking right into your eyes saying, hey, big boy. Hey, how you doing? You see?
Right. And Brendan Sprague.
Shave is a magazine I'm not too familiar with. But again, if you flip to the center section, well, you see the detail that that they go into in this picture here.
Yeah.
It almost looks like a tropical plant or something. Underwater.
Yeah.
Thing.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Okay. That was good.
Yeah.
See you at dinner.
I'll see you at dinner.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. I'm Dirt, he's Sprague. We also have a ghost on the show today. Let's do this again soon.
Take care.
Shout out to
somebody,
the ghost.
If you listen to the very end of that, I can make out the very end.
And then he drops to take care. Like, I get. Like,
but you can hear before Steve goes, because that's Steve Pfeiffer in Milwaukee
Steve.
On the phone. Before he says, take care, you hear that ghost say, all right, bye, guys.
So maybe it's just a muffled Steve. Take care.
Try it again. One more time.
Okay, well,
last
time.
All right, last time.
Okay. Last time with the ghost. Let's do this again soon.
Take care.
No.
You don't think so? You don't think it's muffled?
Why would he say bye, guys, and then take care, and why is it such a different sound?
I don't know.
That's the ghost that was hanging out with. That's Bob Uecker.
Bob Uecker?
I think that's Bob Uecker.
Final answer, Bob Uecker.
Confirm Bob Uecker. By the way, confirming, Brooke Olsendam says Minecraft is hilarious.
Oh, she seen the movie?
The Chicken Jockey.
Chicken Jockey. Now, did anybody release a chicken when she was in the theater to see it?
I don't think she was at that kind of theater.
Okay, not at that. Well, isn't that normal theater? I think they're happening in a normal theater.
I mean,
you never
like,
know when they're going to invade your theater.
I don't think that there was a chicken.
No chicken.
Yeah.
Would it up your enjoyment of the movie if a chicken was released in the theater?
I'll give you a hot tip. I'd be okay with the chicken.
I think I'd be okay with the chicken.
Now, if it starts hopping around in different rows, like, I'm worried about the crap. It's terrible.
Comes and sits on your lap for 10 minutes.
My popcorn bucket.
You're like, what's that on my ankle? It's just pecking at your calf.
Well, I've told the story. I hate chickens. When I was 8, I was at my mom's friend had a lot of land on a river in Washington,
right.
And my mom would just go smoke weed and just leave me just by myself on all this land.
You go wander the land.
And there was a chicken coop, like a big outdoor chicken coop, and I was like, oh, cool. So I went
play
in
with
there.
Some chickens.
And a chicken came right up to me, and I went to pet the chicken, and the chicken put its entire beak over my middle finger. And in that, like,
point it's chicken.
two tenths of a second, I thought my finger was being swallowed.
That is going to be gone. You're losing a finger to a chicken.
And then I remember there was no teeth on this chicken, and so I pulled it out. I punched the chicken in the face. I hate chickens. I'll gladly eat a chicken all day.
I got to imagine that's a pretty good feeling.
Getting your finger almost swallowed?
No, like, to punch a chicken? I think that'd be kind of fun.
Well, I'm pretty sure I sissy punched it because it like it tweaked its head and then just
kept walking
just
around.
Like kept, you know, chickening around, whatever you'd call that. Chicken skipping. I got out of there quick. I hate
running.
Chickens,
I'm running
dude.
Away. I'm running the other direction.
You can't
punched
trust
a chicken in the face.
You don't know what they're doing. There's a chicken that lived. I give this in the
punching some animals is kind of a funny vision. Like the scene of the guy punching the kangaroo in the face to protect his dog.
Yeah.
Is an all-time YouTube clip.
Well, I want to be
like,
really,
how do certain animals react if you throw a
that
right
kangaroo
hook?
Was stunned.
That kangaroo was jacked. He didn't see it coming
like,
at all.
Nobody punches me. No. You just did. You didn't
I'm a
even
kangaroo.
Care.
I'm the king of the jungle out here.
I'll tell you, that was badass. It's probably the most badass video to exist on the internet.
You punching a chicken.
That's probably not what my video looked like.
You know,
it probably like.
How old were you in this
like
situation?
Eight
years old?
8 or 9. So it's like prepubescent spray. But I was all by myself.
You survived, though. You survived that chicken attack. Look at you. You're a better man for it now.
Saw my mom an hour later, bloodshot eyes.
What happened? What have you been doing?
I got attacked by a chicken!
It's like, Mom, you don't understand.
You wouldn't believe me.
Speaking of punching chickens, does anybody want Nico Iamaliava anymore?
UCLA's trying for $1 million.
So the report was initially, he is, by the way, officially in the portal. We talked about that earlier this week and late last week. The Tennessee quarterback, his family's like, nah, $2.5 million is not enough for us. If Carson Beck can make $4 million at Miami, we should be making $4 million. He also threatened to hold out of their playoff game last year because his NIL deal was only for the regular season, they said, and they wanted more money. So, hey, got him to the playoffs, pay him some more. His family basically was like, no, we'll go find somebody else to pay us. North Carolina was the first team that was interested in him, and then they immediately were like, yep, nope, we don't want nothing to do with that. Then it was Tulane. Their quarterback, remember, famously transferred to Duke to replace the now Oregon State starting quarterback. And Ty Thompson, former Oregon Duck, is currently playing tight end for them. He's given up on his quarterback hopes. So Tulane's looking for a quarterback. And even Tulane was like, nope, not going to happen. And now many people are speculating and wondering how much money his family cost him from going from $2.5 million, basically guaranteed at Tennessee for this year, to, it's not even about the level of play, honestly, if I'm a college football program right now. It's more like, do you want that? Do you want that in your locker room? I feel terrible for the kid because I don't know how much control he has in this situation. But I don't know if I'd want to bring that in the headache of dealing with the family. Is he going to hold out if you have a good year? You play in a conference title game? Do I got to be on the phone with his dad for the final game of the season, whether or not he's going to play or he needs another $500,000? Like, this is just turning into a disaster. And unfortunately, there's a kid at the middle of it that I don't know how much decision-making he's been given in this process.
I think that's the tough thing is, like, he is technically an adult, but we know in these circumstances, decisions are not always made by these players. The agents have gotten their fangs into a lot of these athletes, and we also know the culture of youth sports. Your parents, the parents become just as big a celebrity in a way.
I mean,
I'm not going to name names, but a lot of athletes that I've seen locally, if you go to some of these things, you're well aware of who the dad is.
I mean, this is the Uiagalelei dad. I mean, he's been this way.
There's Big Dave. He's a little bit like this. He likes being a little bit of a celebrity.
He's not forcing his kids into different situations for more money, but he likes the limelight.
He likes, he's heavy on social media. You have parents that are very interactive with these situations. This is just so unfortunate. I mean, you're going to make $2.5 million to get to play with Josh Heupel in the best conference in the sport.
A talented roster that might have a chance to win the SEC this year. You went to the playoff last year.
You're going
to
go play for maybe Deshaun Foster and UCLA with what offense?
Right.
Because they fired the enemy, right? So they have a new offensive coordinator this year, and I'm blanking on who it is. But, like, whatever that is doesn't feel like the as good a situation. And by the way,
Tino Sunsari is their new offensive coordinator.
I remember that offense. It's amazing.
The Tino offense.
If you're going to make $1.5 million less, reportedly,
maybe,
than what you were making at Tennessee, and I don't know what the tax difference is between California and Tennessee.
Imagine slightly different.
I'd assume that $1.5 million is more than $1.5 million after the taxes.
Yeah.
You just hope this is a learning lesson for him. I don't root against him. I hope he does well. Don't blame him for looking at the market, but you should have never skipped the practice, or you should at least been able to maintain this relationship and say, just curious, all right, we're back, no big deal. Like, I don't know how you navigate it, but kids go in the portal and then come back to the school from time to time.
I've seen some people speculate that. Would Tennessee take him back? Would you want him back in the locker room? Because there's been a mixed reaction.
Not for more money. In fact, I would argue you should be saying, I'll give you a pay decrease.
I think the tough part there is, again, the locker room dynamic of this. Now, some guys have defended him, I've seen, from the Tennessee football team, and some guys have already put up social media posts back in the other backup quarterbacks who are now going to be competing for the starting job.
Well, can Heupel do this, I think, is the tough thing. I know he's the adult in the room, but he came out and was like, nobody's bigger than the Tennessee program.
Nobody's bigger than the program. Nobody's bigger than the power team.
I mean, it's not that it's impossible, but yeah, I just kind of feel for him. I mean, you know, he should be also having a say in his own choice of where he plays and for how much. You know, we act like these guys are all making $9 million. Somebody just did a study on this. If let's say the NCAA ruling comes out and the salary cap movements here, the way that we've been projecting, what are they, $20 million is what they've been saying? They basically comped it to the NFL quarterback structure of their salary cap. Do you know how much a quarterback should technically make if they're on the same
structure?
If we value the quarterback in that sport the way we value it in the NFL, what is the top, how much should the quarterback make?
$2 million?
Three.
Three, yeah.
So $3 million at the max of a $20 million threshold, he's at 2.5 and his numbers weren't amazing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Perspective is the hardest thing, I think, for some of these athletes to have because their parents don't have it, or they're connected to an agent who just is not looking out for the best interests of the athlete.
The hardest part here, too, and then we'll go to sadder story, is that the ultimate goal at this level is to prepare yourself, make money, yes, but to prepare yourself to be an NFL quarterback. This is his NFL draft eligible year. He redshirted in his first year, started last year. Like, he was a good year at Tennessee away from potentially being a high draft. He was one of the top quarterbacks in high school. And now you're essentially, unless he puts his tail between his legs and he goes back to Tennessee, spring football's done. Most places have already played their spring game.
Yeah, if he goes to UCLA, he's going to have to hop in immediately.
You're essentially getting a fall camp a month and then learn the playbook, get to know the lingo, and go play. And then that usually is not a very easy thing to do. And what has he done for his overall draft? Like, that's a whole other part of this of, like, that's not – you can't just pick up an offense in a month and go out and run it and execute it at a high level. He had been in that offense for 2 years. He was being developed. You would imagine he would have had a better year this upcoming year than he did last year. Mm-hmm. And hell, maybe after this year you jump to the NFL and you're a first-round pick. I don't know how his year was going to go. Maybe he still does that at UCLA or wherever he ends up, but that's the other part of this that's a bummer. It's a sad story in college football that unfortunately the kid's kind of getting the brunt of it, when I feel like the parents should be the ones that are taking all the arrows, but they're coming out with even more quotes of, like, we didn't steer him wrong, we didn't do anything wrong.
I think his parents are, actually. I disagree with that slightly. I think through this story we've learned more, and I think his parents are taking the
arrows. I hope so, because they're the ones that deserve it. They're the ones that are calling the shots here. One quarterback's going to sit down with a team. How does a fan base feel about that? I want to get to that coming up at the bottom of the hour. Let's get the statter story, though. That's next on The Fan.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Adams, 58% of which are girls. So that's 7,107.32
boobs. Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Come on, do math.
The Fan.
All right, we got a quarterback meeting with a team. How would the fan base feel about it? That's coming up bottom of the hour. You guys ready for stat or story? Got your stats? Got
Let's
your
go.
Stories?
Don't you know it? I got a fup date. I got my stat or story. I'm ready to go.
All right, you want me to go? Can I go first?
Yes.
I want to go first. Can I go first?
Let's go.
Your number is 3.82. 3.82.
Okay.
Is it the ERA of the below 500 Seattle Mariners as a team 17 games into their MLB season? Or is it the inches of gape of the mouth of an Alaskan woman, who set the Guinness Book of World Records for largest size mouth gape?
Only 3.82 would be the record?
Or is it? I don't know. Is it a stat or is it a story?
I'm going
to go stat.
I'm going to say this gape is bigger.
You're going to go bigger.
You're going to go bigger gape?
Yeah. I'm going to dirt it.
You're
I'm going to say
it's a 4-inch gape.
Okay. All right. Both on stat?
Yes.
Okay. It is a stat. The Mariners have a 3.82 ERA on the year. That is 15th in Major League Baseball. But your dirt logic was dirt logic. It is not bigger than that.
Oh, smaller gaping.
The Alaskan woman named Marie Pearl Zelmer Robinson has set the Guinness Book of World Records for her 2.98-inch gape in the mouth.
Okay.
She said she
heard this contest happen.
I don't know. She saw a news story of a gal who broke the record in 2021. Her gape was 2.56 inches. She saw this and thought, I think I got a bigger mouth than that. I think I can open this up. She had a quote in the story saying, I've always kind of known I had a big mouth. I talk a lot, and apparently I do have a physically big mouth, but we never really did anything about it. I always just kind of joked that I could fit 2, 3.5 Jenga blocks in my mouth.
That's what we call them nowadays, huh? Jenga blocks.
Shout out to this Alaskan woman who has now set the world record for largest
talented individual
mouth gape.
Evidently, the 2 to 3 Jenga blocks.
There you go.
Okay.
I'll go next. Your number is 30.
30.
30.
A gaping story?
Really like that?
That's pretty good, wasn't it? 30. is it? Mouth. It's a world record. I thought it was newsworthy.
Okay.
It's a story. Is it the age of a German man who got arrested by Mexican authorities for climbing up one of their Mayan temples? Or is it the points per game Giannis Antetokounmpo averaged against the Indiana Pacers this year?
Now we're rounding up or down? No rounding allowed.
30 is your number.
When 30 on the dot.
When there's a decimal, I give you the decimal number. Right. There's no dot there. It's 30.
I feel like you're going to want me to guess story here, unless you're using reverse logic and think I'm going to pretzel myself into saying the thing. Because, like, what are the odds that he averaged exactly 30 points? How many times did I play the Pacers this year? I had to have been at least four.
Well, how many did he play in? That's like maybe he only played in one and scored 30 points.
Ah, it's a valid point. I felt like Giannis was relatively healthy this year. Didn't
four
miss
games.
A ton of time.
Four games.
Is how many he played against the Pacers? Mm-hmm. Okay. Ooh, look at you adding context to your stats.
I'm going
to
go.
Asked, I gave you a little.
I'm going to go story.
I'm going to go stat.
Okay.
I'm an idiot.
I will go in the order in which the answers were received. Swag. Bert.
Hey.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly 30 points even. So
what
you're
are the odds of that? That's pretty
right,
wild.
Exactly. That's why I was trying to throw you off. So your logic was actually correct.
I was on your trail.
No, it's not 30. It is a 38-year-old German man who was identified by the Mexican authorities. A video surfaced on the internet in late March that on one of the tours of the Mayan temple pyramids, he was seen climbing to the top of it. And so he was arrested for trespassing in the restricted area on that structure.
Can't do that.
And basically, he's going to never be allowed back in the country of Mexico again. Further,
was he going to get out of Mexico, or is he in a
question number
Mexican
one.
Prison hole nobody knows about?
So, well, he might be in El Salvador at this point. Yeah, that's where we just send all the bad people. But he was jeered as he was taken down by security at a big cultural and tourist no-no.
Yeah, you don't do that, man.
No. Do not do this. Climbing the pyramid has been prohibited since 2006 in an attempt to preserve the Mayan monument.
It's wild it was allowed until then.
The fine violating Mexico's laws on protecting such monuments runs between $247 and $2,470, according to a Mexican magazine. I'll tell you guys right now, I would never do this.
No.
I've wanted to climb the pyramid in Egypt. Would never actually get close to doing this because I just feel like I would be cursed.
Yeah.
Yeah, something bad would happen.
I don't know if you guys believe in that stuff.
Some
I don't
bad
know if
mojo.
I really believe in it.
No.
I'm not tempting that curse. I'm not tempting that.
Right.
I don't want to piss off the Mayans.
Like the whites in the mummy, they open the thing and all of a sudden there's a guy with no tongue and no eyes. Like, maybe that movie traumatized me to think that's going to be me if I do anything.
I'm not messing with that stuff.
All right, your final number, 1894.
1894.
You were born.
1894. I'm not taking you out to breakfast. It is national.
You're offering? We're
going out to
breakfast?
It's National Eggs Benedict Day.
Ooh, I love a good Eggs Benny.
So, is that.
Get down on some Eggs Benny.
The.
Paprika on top.
Total number of points scored in the playoffs by Playoff Jimmy. In his career.
Jimmy.
Or is it the year that a Wall Street broker claimed...
A what?
Wall Street broker...
Go. There you go. That's a little bit better.
Claimed he created Eggs Benedict.
Created the Eggs Benedict.
Yes.
In 1894...
You guys make a good sauce for Eggs Benny? Because I'm a hit and miss with it. I've made some eggs, like some great sauce.
Hollandaise is one I haven't mastered. Eggs Benedict is one that I've found is always way better when I order out with a chef that knows what they're doing.
That's like a 50% order rate for me at a breakfast spot.
That's your go-to?
That's
almost?
One of the go-tos.
Yeah.
Especially if you're at a place where there's it's not just a traditional, you get like some crab on, there's different variations you could do on it.
I mean, pork, like traditional bacon is the best.
Bacon's delightful.
Yeah, Canadian bacon, poached egg. English muffin.
I'm talking like crispy
bacon.
Oh,
traditional
no, Canadian bacon is the traditional recipe.
No. Traditional Americano bacon, not the Canadian, is better than the Canadian bacon.
Crap out of here.
Really? You like
I don't know.
Ham?
Yeah. I don't know if I agree with that take. I think I'm a swag on this one. I like it both ways. I could go both ways.
I know you can go both ways.
I could go both ways, but bacon I think I prefer contest. It with the Canadian bacon.
Well, okay. All right, so year it was invented.
1894.
Points.
Jimmy,
I mean, he's been in the playoffs a long time.
Playoff,
that's a lost,
Jimmy, playoff
a lot of points.
Points.
I'm going to go story. Give me story.
feel like he wants you to guess story.
He probably does.
I'm also very bad at this.
I mean, he's been in the league for a long
basketball.
Time.
I love basketball. I'm very bad with
he had the one
on this stuff.
Finals run. Outside of that, how many deep playoff runs does Jimmy Butler have?
But he wasn't like
Did they go on
Jimmy.
Deep playoff runs, though?
I think he was on one of those East playoff teams at the Bulls at the end.
Okay.
I'm going to go stat.
You're going to go stat? 37 helped last, or 35, whatever he had last night.
You said stat. What are
I
you going?
I say story.
Sprague. Playoff Jimmy has 2,534 career
playoff more.
That's why I'm bad at that. I have no good context
for
this.
He had 1,583 in four seasons with the Heat.
Yeah, I look this stuff up sometimes, and I'm still bad at it.
Still bad at
I'm
computing
like, nope,
it.
I have no idea.
Not easy to do.
So, yeah, he's got 2,534. His 38 last night actually didn't count towards that total.
Oh, right.
Well,
not counting.
Those stats don't count towards
it. Ah, exactly. Touche. It's not a playoff game. Yeah.
But, no, there is numerous stories about when Eggs Benedict was first invented. Some go back to Pope Benedict the 12th in the 18th century, who was apparently obsessed with eggs. Loved egg dishes so much, but there was one that he repeatedly ordered, but not sure that it is specific to Eggs Benedict. But in 1894, a Wall Street broker named Lemuel Benedict said he created it trying to get rid of a hangover, staying at the Waldorf Hotel in New York, ordered buttered toast, poached eggs, bacon, and hollandaise in hopes of concocting a remedy. The chef at the restaurant was so impressed with it, he added it to the menu and named it after Lemuel there.
So there, is there any evidence this is true? Like,
I mean,
backing?
The name, if
there's
it's...
some supporting evidence, but there's nothing definitive. There's also a story that a man named Edward P. Montgomery wrote a letter to the New York Times magazine saying the man responsible for the dish prior to his death in 1920 was Commodore E.C. Benedict, which is fantastic. And a recipe from his mother... that was very similar to what Eggs Benedict is now.
Conflicting reports.
How come we don't do Eggs Benedict sandwiches more often?
I'd be down with an Eggs Benedict sandwich.
A little crispy hash brown.
Yeah.
And the then sauce, the bacon, then the poached egg, and the sauce. Yeah. Yeah. And then like smash it down, let that yolk go.
I think
go
with the hollandaise,
everywhere.
If you're looking for something that's like portable and carry, that probably one's messy. A bit messy.
Well, so yeah. Are ribs.
That is, ribs are messy, too.
We sign up for saucy ribs all the time.
Hell, half the hamburgers I eat now are messy. Yeah. They're massive. You got to have the gape of that Alaskan woman in order to eat some of these hamburgers these days.
I got to be honest. I thought gaping would be bigger.
I would, too. How big do you think yours is?
I don't know.
We get the ruler.
Is that
out?
A 2-inch gape?
I think you got two. I think you get two.
We got a ruler in there, tape measure.
Who's got
something?
The biggest gape on this show?
It's not me. I feel like I got a pretty small mouth.
Really?
I could see Swag having the big. Well, no, Swag's tiny.
You got a tiny, but he's not that's, trying. Yeah, he's just like yawning.
That's like a yawn.
No, right? That's a good gape. Swag's a good gaper. Yeah, you got kind of a big mouth.
You think I got a big one?
I do
you
not.
Ate six hot dogs.
That's true. Exactly. How many could I have fit in at one time?
Imagine the amount of Jenga blocks you could fit in.
Three and a half glizzies at once. A
lot of Jenga blocks.
All right, we got to go.
I was pretty proud of that story. That was good. Well done, everybody.
Well, you didn't write it. What are you proud of?
I just proud. You know, I found that one. I found that one. I felt good about
What did you type in the Google search
what
to find that
what
story?
What were you searching for?
How did you accidentally find that story?
It was an ad that popped up during a video.
Of course.
Let's get to it.
Looks like you love gaping.
Oh, you're
Check
into
out this,
huh?
Alaskan woman.
We got a news story right up your alley.
Based on our AI models.
Throw a hot dog down a hallway. Hey, this quarterback's meeting with his team. Do we care? And does it do anything for? Are you interested in this? That is next. But well, the Belichick girlfriend story is really weird. I might punt that to tomorrow so we can dig into it a little bit deeper. Not a lot of time here.
I'm underplaying his coaching prowess a little bit, but like how I just don't see how this is going to end well.
It's very weird. There are videos that are surfacing of spring practices where she's walking around ordering people around.
Dressed like fixing his clothes as he's coaching.
Dude, there was an athletic report or an article in the Athletic that came out where they did a information request from UNC to get their
records
emails.
Request,
Remember Bill earlier had asked everybody CC her, Jordan Hudson is her name, on all these sorts of stuff.
Even though she doesn't officially work for the school.
Nope. And it shows her official role as the chief operating officer, the COO of Belichick Productions.
She's basically his Elon.
there is no such thing as Belichick Productions. That's not a company that exists. So, no, but I thought this was interesting, and I was curious. You know, we've talked a lot about this team in the offseason because they made a change at quarterback. And I've always wondered kind of the contract that they signed is a one and we'll see deal, and that is the Seattle Seahawks with Sam Darnold, right? They went a little bit younger. They got a third-round pick for Vegas, and they gave Darnold the deal. We'll see if he plays well and how that works out for them. But it's essentially a one-year deal. You play well, sure, we'll see you in the next 2 years the deal. If you don't, we'll move on. We'll find another path. Well, that other path might be a quarterback who was in Seattle, I believe this was yesterday, to visit with them. And that is Jalen Milroe, was flown into Seattle. I've quite enjoyed Seattle the last handful of years doing the aftermath hindsight, we were right, of like 2 years later being like, you know, we really wanted Josh Allen. Then they did it with Mahomes, too. Like, you know, we would have drafted Patrick Mahomes, but we didn't have the chance to. Very easy to say that in the aftermath of it. But Jalen Milroe was in Seattle yesterday to visit the Seahawks.
Their last first-round draft pick of a quarterback was who?
Ooh.
Because are we going back to Rick Meyer?
Ooh.
Am I wrong here?
That is a good trivia question.
I got it right here. I got their draft pick. So
did they sneak one in at the end of a first round somewhere in between?
Dude.
Wow.
I'm looking it up. It's Rick Meyer.
It's Rick Meyer. They have not taken a quarterback in the first round since 1993.
No, I'm looking at all of their first round picks, and if I didn't screw up this research the way I did yesterday.
We're going to take your word for it. You got credibility.
Look, it's their Wikipedia first round pick page, but I'm looking through this right now.
Nothing.
It's Rick Meyer.
Rick Meyer. 30 plus years ago. That's how long it's been. Look, now, I don't know if Milroe will be a first round pick, but he's going to be at Lambeau Field. He's going to be in the green room.
On the Milroe front, let's be fair here. This is not a quarterback that I would suggest as a Seahawk, if I was a Seahawk fan, would want them to take it anyway. Hmm. They're in a good spot to go add things to their defense or offensive line, depending on how this draft is going to shake out, which we can keep getting more and more into it because
it's a week from tomorrow.
Did you see what Travis Hunter said yesterday?
I did not.
Oh, really?
No. Yeah.
Well, not to sidestep the Jalen Milroe. He's clearly an Anthony Richardson, except he shouldn't start for 2 years if you're going to start him ever.
Yeah. What would that be the plan, though? You got Darnold, 2-3 years?
Let him sit. It depends where he falls.
I just thought it was interesting.
He might be back in first round, early second, just because his measurables are crazy.
He is a freak athlete.
He's a stud athlete. And he had some games with his arm. You're like, is it there?
Yeah.
And then he had other games. You go, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Travis Hunter said yesterday he will quit football if you don't let him play defense and offense. And he doesn't mean like a couple plays a game. He
like
legitimately is saying, I want damn near full-time on both sides. I can be elite on both sides in the NFL. And if I don't get it, I won't play anymore. And I just chuckle. Like,
yeah, that's just hyperbole.
I give you 8 snaps on offense or defense, depending on where you put him. And that's the other thing of this. There is no draft pundits that are alike on this issue. He is either elite a quarterback, cornerback for people, or he should play offense because he can be the first or second best receiver of this class.
It's not a great wide receiver class.
Well, it's not. And I'm kind of fascinated by him as how much action is he going to get on both sides. I think if we're being honest, do people really think he can do in the NFL what he did in college?
I don't think anybody believes that, other than Travis Hunter.
Sure, and I don't think anybody does believe that. But to come out and say, if you don't give me what I'm not going to play.
Get the hell out of here. You're not going to retire from football.
But he also can do Twitch streams and podcasts and probably make a ton of money if he was to be serious.
Yeah, him going number 2 overall a week from tomorrow is going to be wild if it ends up happening. I don't agree with that pick, but we got a lot of time still to dive into it. We're getting closer, man. NFL draft, Lambeau Field, next Thursday.
Is there another team in the... this is an interesting thing to look up. Here we go. Here's some show research for us.
It's a fun trivia question.
Is there a team that has gone longer without drafting a quarterback in the first round in the NFL than the Seahawks?
It's hard to think of one off the top of my head. New England?
When did the Steelers...
Drake May.
Yeah, touche. They just did. But how long was their drought before Drake... Well, Mac Jones was a first-round pick. Yeah, so that was dumb. Yeah, I was just trying
to
think.
Bledsoe?
But it would have been Bledsoe in the early 90s.
Rick Meyer.
He was post-Rick Meyer, yeah.
I have to look into this. I'm curious now.
Roethlisberger was a first-round pick, right?
He slipped at like 10 or 11,
somewhere
around there.
He was a first-round pick.
I hope this Wikipedia is right, because Rick Meyer in 1993 being the last first-round quarterback for them was, that's That's such a long time.
It's a long time ago. We'll have to dive into that. I'm curious if there's a team that takes the cake over that. And if they end up, if they take a quarterback this year in the first round, that would be a very interesting move, Seattle. If that's their first round pick.
Doesn't give you a lot of assurances on Darnold, does it?
It does not, no. But we saw Atlanta do it last year with Kirk Cousins, and people say, hey, kind of worked out for him. Kirk Cousins got hurt, and look, now you got Penix. And so, you know, in the long run, maybe you end up being right there. But I thought it was interesting. Yeah, we'll have to look that up, see if there's been a longer drought taking quarterback in the first round. Let's wrap it up on a Wednesday, sending our way next on the fam. All right, welcome back in 8:51.
All right, I got the research.
We got the research done.
We don't need to wait till tomorrow.
No, Seattle drafted a quarterback in the first round. For the last time they did it was 1993, Rick Meyer.
And I, by the way,
legendary career.
Don't have the chat or the text line up right now, so I don't know. People probably sent it in, and yeah. I did not cheat. I just looked it up.
We had one person guess the longest drought.
Did they get it right? Don't
they
ruin
did.
It. Okay, all right. So
they got it right.
Seattle currently has the third longest streak in the NFL of not taking a quarterback in the first round. It was Rick Meyer in 1993.
Yes.
The second longest is...
It took me a while, but I finally got it.
You got it. Swag could not figure this out.
Could not figure it out.
The Dallas Cowboys.
I had to go process of elimination of the teams that I knew had drafted a quarterback in the first round. You're like, all right, no, that can't be it. That can't be it. And it's a current ongoing streak of not taking a guy. They have not taken one since Troy Aikman.
Troy Aikman was the last one in 1989. So that's very close to the Rick Meyer run.
Very close.
But there is a team, and I'd venture to guess that this team.
A week from tomorrow, this streak will end.
Well, we think. We don't know.
Maybe.
This draft's weird.
You never know.
I think the streak is going to come to an end.
Next week. Yeah.
A week
should.
From tomorrow.
It probably should.
And that team is, because Swag couldn't figure it out, the New Orleans Saints, Arch Manning, 53-year streak right now.
They have
now.
Not taken a quarterback in the first round since 19... What year was that?
71?
71.
And I think they're going to draft Jackson Dart.
Bananas.
I mean, it's the most important position in the sport.
I mean, they had a good year. They were the Aints for a long time, and then they landed Drew Brees, and they had a good run there.
Yeah, so Quincy, or not Quincy Carter, they had Aaron, was it Aaron,
Aaron
Brooks?
Aaron Brooks. Aaron Brooks, man. I was a big Aaron Brooks guy.
The other Aaron Brooks.
The football Aaron Brooks.
Football Aaron Brooks.
How are you not high on the football Aaron Brooks?
I did think he was a real thing, him and Joe Horn.
I mean, Joe Horn was on the cell phone scoring touchdowns. There was a moment in time. New Orleans was the next thing, the next wave in the NFL.
I think they're going to draft Dart. So the Seahawks and the Cowboys be the two longest droughts potentially in
unless
the NFL.
Unless the Seahawks take a quarterback in the first round.
Yeah,
we'll have to wait and see next Thursday. That will do it for us, folks. Thanks for being a part of our Wednesday, everybody. We had Steve Pfeiffer on from Milwaukee. They begin their playoff journey, the Bucks do, this weekend without Damian Lillard.
Also had a ghost on that interview.
We had a ghost on the show today, so that was pretty wild. Fun Satter story. It was a nice little show. So go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com. At Dirt and Sprague and at 1080 The Fan if you missed it. Thanks everybody for watching on YouTube, even though the screen was dark for about a half hour. Make sure you like the video, subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. And that will do it for us. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Call on us next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.